Amen. It seems like every time I get up to preach following our musical offering of the week, I find myself being repetitive. We have such amazing talent in this church. Thank you for that. We are so blessed by our music and by folks who are willing to share the gift to glorify God. Thank you for that. Let's offer a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that the message that I speak this day not be my words, that it not come from me, but it may it come from you. May it serve your purpose and give you glory, drawing us closer to you and to each other. Amen. This last week, the staff, or many of the staff of this church congregation, got the opportunity to gather at Teeter Retreat Center north of Noblesville. Wonderful setting, you know, out in the woods, you know, kind of a log cabin type venue. And we spent 2 days together. And they were two awesome days. The first day was the pastoral staff. And I got to know them better, and we got to know each other better and really understand how we are equipped and how we relate to each other. Very encouraging. And then that was on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the whole staff was invited to come and to gather. And we, out of the 16 folks who came from the staff, we had a wonderful discussion, wonderful time of learning and growing. Ray Hilbert, who's a leadership coach and is a CEO of a ministry that helps churches and other religious organizations be a more effective leadership and organizationally, he came and shared with us wonderful words of wisdom. And the task that we had, the thing that we were using during our time of learning, was the DISC assessment. Has anybody ever taken, I'm sure there's got to be some people that have taken the DISC assessment, you know, in the corporate world or other organizations. And it was a tool that God used, I believe, to tell us that we are an awesome staff. And I'm not saying that to sort of toot our own horn. I'm saying that because during that time of learning, the DISC assessment, one thing just stuck out to me as amazing proof of God and what he's doing and plans to do in this congregation. And the DISC assessment is, a brief description of it is, those D-I-S and C is how you spell DISC, the acronym, they stand for a particular characteristic or approach to decision making and behavior. Four primary ways that each of us goes about our work. And what I found fascinating was that of the 16 of us, four of us were D's, four of us were C's, three of us were S's, and five of us were I's. To me, that's pretty good balance there. And made me think that, man, God knows what he's doing. God brought these people together, these exact people, with these exact gifts, perspectives, to be a part of this staff and this church at this time. That is amazingly reassuring to me. And then as we discussed further, as we got to know each other, as we answered questions, I found out some incredible things about the folks that I work with, the other folks that help lead this congregation. And I was even more convinced that God knows exactly what he's doing. He has set the stage. He has got the right people on the bus, so to speak, to be leaders of this church. And as I left the two-day retreat, I was just energized. I was fired up. I was encouraged and hopeful and certain that we were going to do amazing things together as a staff. And I thought, you know, that is really, I don't think it stops there. Because the staff is simply reflective of the larger congregation. Each and every one of us has gifts, has abilities, has perspectives, has experiences that God is going to use to bless this community and help us accomplish all that he wants to accomplish, which I believe is bigger than we can really understand. Patty, over the next 3 weeks, is going to teach us about being the church. What does it mean to be the church as individuals? What does it mean to be the church? How are you and I and everyone else who's here in this place, how are we the church here in Carmel? And a wonderful, wonderful lessons. I'm looking forward to those weeks of teaching and preaching. But what I would like to do is preface that three-week series by talking about the church as a family. One big family, so to speak. Now, we are God's family. We are children of God, adopted as heirs of Christ and co-heirs. We are called together as the family of God here in this place. And it wasn't by accident. It wasn't just happenstance. How many of us have families where we, you know, when we hear the word family or the term family or the understand the concept of family, it sort of makes us cringe a little bit. I'm sure many of us came from great families, great childhoods, great parents, great siblings, and it was all well and good. But some of us probably had maybe some challenges in our families growing up. Well, I'd like to talk about the passage that Gabby read for us from Galatians. I put that passage from chapter 6 in hopes that it would reference or point to the whole chapter, the whole book of Galatians. I would encourage each and every one of us to this week, tonight, or sometime during your personal time with God to read through the whole book of Galatians. It's not very long. It'll take you about 15, 20 minutes. Because what I want to do is preach on the whole book of Galatians. And I know I realize I've only got about 10 minutes or so. But I'm not going to keep you here until after lunch. But what Paul is saying in Galatians to the church in Galatia, he's encouraging them, he's teaching them, he's concerned about them. Because he started this church, and now he's writing to them from afar. He wants them to continue to be faithful and to learn certain lessons. And he's concerned because they're receiving some bad teaching. And he wants them to remain faithful and remain hopeful. And the issue that he's addressing is the idea of circumcision. A group are telling the Galatians, you have to be circumcised if you want to be part of the family. And Paul's saying, there is no circumcision. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. You are part of the family. That's already been done. You are part of the family because of God and what Jesus did. And then he just tries to instruct them and build them up and encourage them. Many times throughout the book, he addresses them as brothers and sisters, making that family reference. And then at the end of the chapter that Gabby read for us, it says, therefore, we have opportunity. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There's something special about the family of believers. There's power there. There's amazing potential in the family that we are called to be as God's children. And I'd like to lift up just three characteristics of God's family. First one is, and this may be a little bit of a difficult word for some of us, but the first characteristic of God's family is dysfunctional. Pastor Mike, what? Dysfunctional. Every one of us who have been from a family would say we came from a dysfunctional family. Wouldn't you? Do I have any takers? Anybody? I come from a dysfunctional family. And you are brave, the folks who raise their hand. We all come from dysfunctional families, I would venture to guess. Some at different levels than others, but we are all dysfunctional. And therefore, as the body of Christ, as a family of believers, children of the Most High God, the church, we also are dysfunctional. But dysfunctional is a good thing, because we have the opportunity to put the fun in dysfunctional. Being dysfunctional could be a good thing. After all, think about this. Just an example. Let's say, for those of us who have kids or who have raised kids, what would it be like if your child, you know, son or daughter, always kept the room clean, always used please and thank you, they always said yes ma'am and yes sir, they always treated their brothers and sisters and everyone with love and respect. They never threw a tantrum. They always got perfect grades. Some of you are thinking, wow, that would be awesome. That would be perfect. Yeah, that's what I want. But how boring would that be? That would be terribly boring. The fun of life comes from the dysfunctional. It comes from the challenges, the issues, the baggage, the difficulties. That's where the sort of the spice of life comes from. That's where we learn to grow. That's where we learn to need God. That's where we get stretched into who God wants us to be. We need to embrace the dysfunction in our lives and in our church and in our families. That's how God, that's the way God works in the world and blesses us in the world. The other characteristic I would lift up is we're dysfunctional, but we're also blessed, hugely blessed. Do you have any takers on that one? Who thinks they are hugely blessed? Anybody? Yeah, most of us. We are hugely blessed. God has given us so much. And if he hasn't given us financial blessings or any kind of security like that, he has given us loved ones. He has given us purpose. He readily gives us peace and grace and joy. We are hugely blessed in the church. For we have exactly what we need to accomplish God's will. We lack nothing as the family of God. We may think that we don't have it all together. We may think that we're a burden even to the family of God and what God's trying to accomplish. That's not true. God needs each and every one of us to be here in this place at this time as a family of God. Because he's got plans for all of us. And the plan cannot come to fruition unless we're all part of the same family. We're all hugely blessed. We get an opportunity to use those blessings for God. The third characteristic is that God knows what he's doing. He didn't bring each one of us to this place by accident. He didn't call us to be a part of this family, this branch of the family here in Carmel, a branch of the church with a capital C, for no reason at all, or just by accident. Each and every one of us are here for a reason. Now, each and every one of us has gifts and abilities, and we all have baggage, and we all have challenges, and we all have stuff. But God knows that, and he's going to use that. And we have exactly what we need to accomplish exactly what God wants us to accomplish. We have the ability to be convinced, of, not just be convinced of that, but bank on it as the family of God. Just like after leaving the staff retreat, I was encouraged that I was a part of this family, this team, equipped and called to do great work. We're all part of that same family. We're all going to be hugely blessed. And the good thing is, if we embrace the family, we can be a huge blessing to the world. Something happened to me last night, which I didn't expect, but I thought that'll work really well in my sermon tomorrow. So we have an 8-year-old daughter, Sutton, and I usually take the night shift. And I, you know, she was kind of fussy last night. She slept from 6 to about midnight, and midnight she got hungry, so I took her to Stephanie, my wife. She fed her, and then she was still wide awake, so I took her back downstairs so my wife could sleep. And I'm sitting, rocking in the rocking chair, thinking about my message about today, and just letting her sleep. She falls asleep, and she's sound asleep. And I'm there maybe 20, 30 minutes, rocking back and forth, and all of a sudden she just starts chuckling in her sleep. She gets a big grin on, just, you know, I mean, almost a belly laugh. It was amazing to me. She just chuckles. And then like a minute or so later, she chuckles again. And I'm just rocking her. And she chuckled like 3 or 4 times in the 45 minutes I was rocking her. And I was overcome by the biggest smile that I could not wipe off my face for anything. I had a smile that it lasted an hour. I could not get rid of the smile. I was so blessed and so overcome by just the goodness and joy of God in that moment, by a member of my family, a blessing from God. We all have had moments like that with our kids or close relatives. But do you realize that those moments are not few and far between? That in this family, in this congregation, in this place, we have the opportunity to have those types of moments every day. Abundant opportunities for those types of moments. Moments that just make us smile. Moments that draw us close to God. Moments that convince us of the glory of God. Whether we are teaching a child in Sunday school and they get it, or we're serving in a mission and we have an active part in with other family members to bring them to Christ. When we just have an opportunity to worship together and feel the Spirit move. As a family, we have the opportunity for those amazing moments, and they are not few and far between. For through the family of God, that's how God makes and allows those moments to happen. As we enter into a time of communion this morning, we get to share in the cup and the body of Christ. And everyone is welcome in the Methodist Church to gather here and to partake of communion. You don't have to be a member of the church. You don't have to be a regular attender. If you have a desire to connect with God and to connect with the body of Christ as a family, you're invited to come and partake of Holy Communion. We have, I invite you to join, kneel at the rail. We also have servers with the cup and the bread where you can take the bread and dip it in the cup. But I would encourage us over the next few moments as we take communion together to pray this prayer or something like it. Pray for thanks to God that we are part of His family. And then ask God to bless His family in this place, right now in this time, so that we can make His family bigger. Let's take a couple of moments of silent prayer as we center ourselves in preparation for communion.